Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance neath the cover of October skies. You know the leaves on the trees are falling to the sound.
What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to this Memorial Day edition of the Bubba Show. And again, as I've said the entire weekend long, and I will say today, I always say it, I always think it, but to my military friends and family and people out there, thank you so much for serving our country, veterans, active, families thereof. We can't thank you enough for giving us, or me, the liberties to do my thing right here, okay? And I appreciate it, I thank you, and I salute you. And here we are. Okay, day off, but of course the markets are open because we are global, and the markets were actually a little higher, in the futures markets, indicating that all is right with the world, and you know, who am I to argue? Okay, we have we're within about 2% of the all time highs. You know, maybe we're going to go ahead and take them out. Again, this is the problem when you try to mix the economy and the stock market into the same bundle, because the truth of the matter is they are not related. They are not in together because the economy sucks, but nobody cares because we're investing. We're investing our money as wherever we can. Because we have the all desire, the chase for yield. Okay. You know, again, it's a vicious circle, and it's the cycle that is always in is money needs to be invested. Okay. Whether you're putting away for your 401k or you're putting away for your IRA or whatever you're doing. And, you know, who wants to put your money in the bank at less than 1%? And, you know, so where are you going to go? And that is always something that has to be, you know, looked at and determined. And that's why you see the running to the equity market, because that is where money goes. And, you know, there is no other place right now to be putting it from that perspective, unless you want to take some risk, for example, in the commodity space, which has had a nice big move to the upside now. But again, when you're using your IRA and your 401k, you're not trading. You're just putting away for a time later on down the road. So that's what you're seeing in here. Is the ever chase for yield, the continuation of money pouring in. And I think some of the interesting things is, you know, people look at inflow and outflow. And the outflows have been very high. So people think, well, that's people that are running out of the market. But believe it or not, the inflows have been higher. And what you're seeing here, to me, what it looks like, is the retirees, my generation, is taking their money out, but not taking it out to get out of the market. They're taking out just bigger withdrawals, you know, to live on. And so it feels like there's a lot coming out, but there's still more going in. And the net of it is there's still being more added to the markets than being taken out. You know, the thing is, when numbers get bigger, they can be deceiving. And that's, you know, that's obviously one of my chief bitches of many. But, you know, when you hear them, you know, yapping on TV about, you know, the markets and how good they are and what's going on and blah, blah, blah. We're up 100. Well, 100 is nothing, you know, because we're at 18,000. Well, the amounts of dollars that are in the market now, because of the inflation, you know, we can talk all we want. that there is no inflation. But of course, there's been inflation everywhere, especially in things that you get to buy every day. But also the IRAs and 401ks have inflated with the stock market. And so that leaves more to come out. But if you look at it on a percentage basis, the percentage basis is no bigger. In fact, it's smaller, which indicates that there's still a lot of money flowing in to the market, which indicates that, you know, are we going to, you know, go down anytime soon? You know, and I don't know that, you know, I could see a market, you know, going down. You know, again, I think the market's in trouble. I think the market's in bad shape. I think that there's a lot of issues out there. Okay. But what I can't say is when the final one will be the final bell or the final countdown. This is something that, you know, will plague, you know, investors and traders for years and years to come. The ability to try to pick the top. Okay. And really, why should we be concerned with trying to pick the top? Why should we be concerned with trying to pick the bottom when we should just be, you know, investing in the market? You know, if you're hedging your stuff, then for sure you should be investing. You know, I like it where you're always 100% involved. Then there is no decision. Okay. Because if you're hedging your portfolio, then you're just 100% in the market and you don't have to think about it. Okay. Whereas if you are, you know, if you're taking shots, well, then you get more problems to deal with and more things to think about. But I think that if you just hedge your portfolio, you just keep pouring the money in, because again, you know, as negative as I can be today, if I'm looking forward 10 years, I'm going to be very bullish because we will go higher. And you know, that's typically what's going to happen. And this is not new. This is not the latest in the world. This is something that's been going on forever. And I see no reason that it won't continue, because the equity markets are the place to be. You know, now, again, there's action up, there's action down. But over time, you will find out that by, you know, staying put, you know, and hedging. You see, the reason that you hedge is to take away the emotion of fear getting out. You know, when you see, you know, if you've got 100,000 in the market and all of a sudden that 100,000 is starting to disappear, okay, then you see that, hey, you know, maybe what did I do wrong? How do I get out? Where am I at? And, you know, that would be, you know, something that you'd be looking at, you know, from that perspective. But, you know, you have to, you know, say to yourself, hey, you know, I get it. I'm in good shape, so I don't have to get out, and I'm not going to have to worry about, you know, that part of the game. And that is something that we always look for, is, you know, how do I manage to stay in the market without forcing myself out of the market? And that is, and I mean, those are just things that you look at. But one of the other things you should be looking at is our friends from Thinkorswim. You know, every day they have swim lessons, and tomorrow they have adding Vega to Iron Condors. Maybe it's adding Vegas, but anyways, Thinkorswim, they've got technically speaking, they've got the plunge. They're there to take care of you, and they're really interested in educating, because like anybody else, they're in a business, and the more they can educate you, the better you can do, the better they're going to do. But check them out, and you know, it is one of the platforms that I use. And in my eyes, it is the most user-friendly. So check out Thinkorswim, built by traders for traders. In the meantime, when you miss an episode, all you have to do is go to libertytalk.fm and download The Bubba Show, as well as The Sporting Edge. In the meantime, we're going to stop out here for a break. But once again, let's thank and salute military, past and present, their families, for making this possible, our liberties. This is the Bubba Show, Top of Wars. We're going to step out here for a break, and we will be right back.
Boys, follow me, mostly in A. Stay with me now.
Welcome back to the Bubba. of the show, Todd Bubba Horowitz, with our friend, our favorite, Jane King, The Ka-Ching Report, Lila Max Media, All About Town, a star. What's up, Jane?
Well, just going to Disney World. So excited about that. My kids have never been there. I haven't been there since college. I'm sure it's changed. And I'm looking forward to, you know, seeing a little Mickey Mouse.
And a little Mickey Mouse, and you know, listen, it's a great American institution. I mean,
totally right.
I mean, you know, Disney is a city all into its own, and of course, they've basically taken over Orlando, and it's unbelievable. And they're big, and of course, you see Bernie Sanders knocking Disney about where they make a lot of their products at. I always find that amazing when you know, a guy like Bernie Sanders can knock a great American institution, because yes, they do make a lot of their products overseas, and not that I necessarily agree with that, because I do believe jobs should be here, but basically look at all the people they employ throughout this country and how much money they bring into the country. So it's really interesting.
It is, and you know, it's funny because I feel like more stressed out about this trip than any I've taken recently. It's like, oh my goodness, like, we got to make sure we go on Peter Pan's flight, and we got to see the Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, and how far away is this, and are my kids going to meet Anna and Elsa? And it's like, gosh, it's like a huge event planning this thing. So we're going to have a good time. I told everybody, relax. I may not get to do everything we want to do. And we'll come back in a few years if we don't.
Are you going to have breakfast with the with Cinderella or with the?
No, we're going to go there early. We're staying at a Disney property, so we're going to, you know, take advantage of that extra hour. We're going to hit the most popular things, and then we're probably just going to, like, you know, eat wherever we can. I don't even remember the lay of the land. I know it's like a spoke, and we're just going to. This is going to be kind of a little bit of a play by ear.
Make sure you go on the Tower of Terror.
Yes, well, that's on the list.
Yep. I tell you, that is one of the scariest rides. And, you know, I had my daughter there when she was, I don't know, maybe 5 or 6, and she almost flew out of the chair. It was really wild. It was really wild.
So we'll see. My kids are, well, okay, no, my kids are about the same age. So we'll see what they want to do. But anyway, I'm looking forward to a little trip to Disney World.
So we've got, you know, we continue to get bashed on retail sales, and yet the markets continue to move higher. And it's interesting that we continue to slow down, you know, the volume. We continue to slow down all of this stuff. And every bit of bad news is always interpreted, well, it's okay because either the Fed is not going to raise or they are going to raise. And do you have any feel for what they're going to do? I mean, what's your thoughts?
Well, knowing this Fed, my guess is they probably will not raise interest rates in June. May change the language a little bit. But I still think that they're going to look for an excuse to hold off on it. And retail sales may be it. I mean, just people aren't buying clothes anymore. People are shopping at Lowe's and Home Depot. They had excellent sales. But clothing is, like, just not where it's at right now. But, you know, it's interesting, the market, you know, seeing this week, I was like, the stock market has really become like just a rich person's thing, you know, which is sad. Like, I remember in the late 90s, people had more money in 401k plans than they did at equity in their home. And people were very interested and had a stake in the market and liked capitalism. And things have really changed in the past 15, 16 years. And it's become this place where, you know, people are rich or are getting richer. The stock market has gone up. Housing has gone up, but a lot of people, you did a survey out this week from the Federal Reserve that, like, 30% of Americans can come up with $400 in an emergency. So a lot of people struggling out there still.
I think it's pretty tough out there myself. You know, again, I've been on this bandwagon the whole time. I think it's a big facade. But, I mean, you know, it's funny. I had a conversation with a very good friend of mine, a very successful trader, and you know, we were hanging around, and, you know, he said he was going to move to Newport. His son and children moved out to Newport, and his son just got just passed the bar, and he's got a job in California, and he's going to sell his house in a very nice exclusive suburb in Chicago. And he couldn't get any money for it. He couldn't get out. He couldn't even get out what he had into it. And I go, hell, I got a house. I bought my house at the absolute stone bottom of the market. Okay. I can't get out. I mean, so I hear all these great housing numbers, but where are they? I mean, to me, I don't know. I mean, again, I don't like to be the bearer of bad news, but I can't sell my house now. I couldn't get out for what I don't owe anything on it, but I couldn't get out for what I bought it for. And I bought it at the bottoms, or what I thought was the bottom. So where is all this great housing? Where is all this great data coming from? I don't see it.
Well, you know, it's, some of the Western states are actually doing pretty well. I mean, I guess if you trust the numbers, I haven't been actually buying and selling a home in Portland, Oregon, or Denver, Colorado, but they're doing okay in terms of housing. But when you come out east, I mean, and the Midwest, I think, is hurting too. But I know the luxury market, especially in Manhattan, is down. And so I think, you know, that's, I mean, it's just one of those things. I mean, people are just stretched. I mean, there's a guy I know who works at a software company, one of the top executives, makes about $2.5 million a year. And he's like, this is ridiculous. These houses are ridiculous and private school is ridiculous. But I mean, if somebody like that is saying that housing is ridiculous and college costs are ridiculous, you know, there's a problem. So anyway, the situation right now is not good for a lot of people.
No, I just think it's kind of sad that we really get, my opinion, again, I'm not expressing yours or anybody else's, but my opinion is we get a lot of bad data that doesn't really mean anything. And you can't even get the Fed, the different Fed governors and the different Fed banks to agree on what the GDP is. So I just see a lot of problems. I don't see a real foundation, you know, and retail sales suck. And, you know, of course, online sales are great, but it's still the overall total of retail sales. They count, and people aren't buying. People aren't spending because the truth is they don't have money because the truth is we don't have real good jobs. I mean, you know, we could talk about how good the jobs are, and Obama can go on air and talk about, you know, how much he's created, but he's really created a bunch of nothing, and he's really created more of a socialism environment than a real capitalistic environment. Any opinion?
Yeah, no, I totally agree with that. I mean, we can, the minimum wage law or the overtime law that was just implemented last week, I believe, you know, as I watched, like they raised almost doubled the limit for at what threshold do you start, you know, getting overtime. And I was like, you know, this shouldn't be something that's decided by the government. This should be, the economy should be working well enough that this happens on its own. This shouldn't be something that's mandated. So that's the problem. I mean, so many of these things are done like with the government heavy hand. And what we really need to do is fix the structure of the economy so we can have a robust economy and that people are actually making this money legitimately and you're not, you know, putting a burden on small businesses and things like that.
Well, no, listen, and you, a farmer's daughter, you understand capitalism because, you know, you guys go through it, you know, that you go through the good and the bad because of free markets and capitalism. And of course, it just feels to me that they're eliminating free markets. And that to me is might be the saddest statement of all, is the disappearing of capitalism and the free market system of price discovery and the whole deal. Because we just see so many things that are being manipulated and controlled by outside sources where the truth of the matter is nothing prices an asset than itself and what somebody's willing to pay and what somebody's willing to sell it for. What do you think?
Yeah, well, I mean, you know how I feel. I mean, I totally agree with that. I mean, the pricing of things is all screwed up. I mean, who knows what really, I mean, the only real true pricing that you have right now is in the commodity market. You know, gold and oil. And I mean, that seems really the last market that's determined by supply and demand. And, you know, as far as the labor market, I mean, and, you know, the minimum wage, they went to $15 an hour. And, you know, what's Pizza Hut doing hiring robots? I mean, there's always something that's going to come and replace this, and business is going to figure it out. I mean, it may take a year, two or three, but they're going to figure it out. And then we're back where we were. So what really needs to happen is less regulation, less taxes, more free-flowing economy, and then we could really kind of, I think a lot of people would benefit from that. Good luck with that with the current administration.
Well, and again, that's, of course, the thing. And listen, I'm in obviously 100% agreement that I just think the market should do what they're supposed to do because that's what we do. I mean, you know, at the end of the day, the markets are the most efficient item a thing because they tell you what something is worth. I mean, that's the thing. You know, an appraiser can't tell me what my house is worth. What tells me what my house is worth is what somebody's willing to pay for it. That's what it's worth, and that's the problem. And to me, you know, that's where we've gone wrong over the years with this administration and even before. I mean, this has been coming for a long time, the ever growth of government, but unfortunately Jane King. You know, I know we don't have a. I wish we had for hours to talk, but I know you're busy and we got stuff to do. And you're going to Disneyland or Disney World, excuse me. Have a great time in Disney World, Jane King.
Thank you. We'll talk next week.
Lila Max Media, the Ka-Ching Report. You got to check her out. She's coast to coast, all over the world on TV, and one of the smartest people that I know. And just brings it to you in the real deal. This is the Bubba Show. Top Bubba Horse. Make sure you go to LibertyTalk.fm and download the podcast. We've just passed 225,000 downloads a month. We're looking to get that 300. I need your help. LibertyTalk.fm. This is the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll see you right after the break. The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz.
Trust. For nearly four decades, that is the reputation Roberts & Roberts Brokerage has forged with their customers. Now, with their full e-commerce website, rrbi.co, it's easier than ever to buy or sell precious metals via Bitcoin or major credit card. Visit them online at rrbi.co or call 800-874-9760 to speak with an experienced professional today. Roberts & Roberts, when you're serious about precious metals.
What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here. The long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialady, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got the Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. Welcome back to the Bubba Show on this Memorial Day holiday. And, of course, it's time for our guy, our man, Matt Demeter from Demeter Research. And, Matt, welcome aboard. And always great to have you, and especially on a holiday. You come in and visit us. Great to be here.
Thanks, Todd. It's great to be here.
I kind of stumbled over that. I don't miss your name anymore. Now I just miss what I'm going to say. But so, Matt, we've got, you know, you kind of intimated last week that, you know, we could see a rally. You wouldn't like fall off your chair if the markets got to possibly a new high, and certainly now we're in range to make that new high once again. But of course, where are we really? Is we're at the top end of the financial futures, you know, the S&P and the Dow, and we're at the bottom end of the VIX. So what are you looking for now? What are you seeing here?
Yeah, no, that was what I was looking for. I was looking for, you know, last time we spoke, BXX to fall. It's just, it's not a trading vehicle. Well, it is a good trading vehicle. It's not a good long-term vehicle, but I use it mostly for the fine data I get out of it. And it has hit my original target line. So that's a good indication that volatility is about to spike up and market should sell off. How soon? I think relatively soon, but
I want a date and a time exactly. When is it going to happen? it's been pretty torturous, I have to say.
Yeah. No, I think it's pretty tedious. Everybody's been waiting for something to happen one way or the other. And it's more or less just a trading range. We haven't really gone anywhere for 2 months.
No, we have not. I mean, it's really been, other than a few items, I mean, if you look at almost any market across the board, has been pretty much stagnant like this. And of course, when you lose volume and volatility and everything starts to go away, you don't have a lot of movement. But I did notice a couple of things that I felt were kind of interesting last week, and I want to get your take and see if you ever include any of this into your overall views. And, you know, some of the sentiment, you know, one of the reasons we have not been able to really have any sell-off with any commitment is because the overall, I would say the average sentiment of a professional has been bearish, and they think the markets are going down. So, and it's hard when everybody's kind of on the same side, it's hard to get them to go. And I think that every time we've seen the dip, of course, the buyers have stepped back in. But I'm starting to see some of these what I call the bigger guys or the more public guys starting to turn bullish on this market, now calling for, you know, well over new highs. And, you know, I don't know if that's their way of trying to spoof the market or, but typically when you start to see that sentiment change, that always, to me, tells me that we are definitely near the upper end.
Yeah, no, that's great. I mean, if bigger guys are turning bullish, if, you know, we really need that. I agree with you. This is, sentiment is one of the things I worry about. If I'm, you know, when we're calling for, you know, a sell-off, you can't have everybody calling for the sell-off at the same time, as, you know, you just said. So yeah, I hope sentiment turns, at least retail sentiment turns more bullish. I was just reading something yesterday about the average investor is not in, not playing this from the long side, and they are not really interested in buying. So that's kind of a problem.
You've been reading my book. That's what I say every week. Last Monday night, I did a call. I do a call every Monday night. And last Monday night, I said, look, the right play here is to buy. I am personally not going to buy the indexes. But the one thing I want to explain, and I always try to explain this to everybody, is I'm always long the market. You know, I may be bearish, and I may be in my personal, from a short-term guy, I'm probably the most bearish I've been, and I can't tell you how long. But at the end of the day, I still own equities. I mean, my IRA and my SEP and all of my pension is in equities, 100% in the equity market. So I'm not crying when the market goes up like this. I'm just, you know, from a short term, I think that I'm unhappy because obviously I'd like to make money on both sides because I know the long term will eventually go up anyways, right? So, but I think that's one of the bigger problems, guys like me. I mean, I just refuse to buy in the index, not buy individual stocks anytime if they're correct. But I think that's one of the bigger problems here as well. What do you say?
No, yeah, I think that's the way to play it. I think to be long individual stocks, the ones that you like, you think of a long-term future, that's the way to go. And then, you know, be short the indices if you want to hedge. And that's, I think, you know, the way I would do it. But, you know, in speaking about the indices and trying to, you know, my whole, the point of my service is to get, you know, sort of exact tops. It's, you know, it's difficult. I have two targets coming up on the upside in the S&P, 2120. And 2142. I think either one of those targets will be the top. I mean, we're getting close. We're back to, you know, that 2111 level we got to on April 20th. We're close to that level. I don't know if we're going to break above, but if we do, I know that 2120 and 2142 are my levels for where we should see a reversal back down. And I've been kind of, for the past 2 months, I've just been waiting to see if it could get up there. And, you know, it's just been so tedious. But when you combine that with the fact that volatility is so low and that the, you know, the commercial banks have been buying so many volatility futures, to me, you know, it's just really just a matter of time.
Well, no, you've been, and to your credit, you have been, although bearish, but you have been saying that there is a chance that we could see exactly what we're seeing. And of course, when you're trading, it's the most tedious, as you're using, and torturous environment because there's really nothing going on. So you don't get, not only are we not getting the implied volatility or the VIX volatility, but we're getting no price volatility, which is even more challenging because now we're getting more movement. You know, I remember back in 2004. Well, before your time, but I remember in 2004, I mean, you know, we used to trade and scale out our own ranges, you know, our own standard deviation moves. And, you know, we would change our the way we trade depending on where they were. And in those days, our range for the S&P was like 4 points a day, believe it or not. So, you know, when volatility gets this low, it's virtually impossible to really be active. Now, of course, there's always markets that have action. And you did comment on the VIX futures. Now, are they liquidating at any of the futures? Because I know you said near record highs. They were extreme record highs a while back. Are they starting to take some off, or are they just not adding any on?
They took a little off last week as of the last COT report. The last COT report on the 27th, they took off 4,000 of their VIX long position, and they were up to 130 some thousand. So they're right now at 126,000 net long. So it's still a very big position. It's just you know, barely off their record. So I'm not reading anything into it. During the reporting week, there was a small, you know, spike up in volatility. It was small enough. They started to take profits on that. But since in this latest few days, like the last 3 days that were not accounted for in that report, volatility has fallen back down. I would assume that the next report we see, they'll have put those contracts right back on.
I wouldn't be surprised at that at all. Now, are you surprised, or would you call the, I know one of your main indexes you watch is the Stoxx 50, the Euro, and are you surprised? Would you call this like a dead cat bounce or a short covering rally, that big rally they had last week?
Oh, yeah. I mean, they were up a lot, but they were also down, you know, much more than U.S. indices. They've been down more. They are still down about 6-some percent for the year. They had been down 10% for the year. They had a nice rally last week, you know, stronger than the U.S., but they were also down more in the previous weeks than U.S. markets.
Well, no, I mean, I would, again, you know, personally, from my standpoint, I mean, if I could script this out for all the people that follow us and that listen, I mean, my view would be is I'm not going to be able to sell them on the way down. And I'm certainly, you know, although I take little stabs here and there at these upper levels, I mean, I'm basically gambling a little bit because I don't have a real fine spot yet. I mean, you know, you're still about 20 points away. But when I look at it, I mean, I think the big dip that'll come in, we'll be looking for that big rally to then sell into. And I think that will be more of the pattern that we see often in markets that are turning over, as you see the big sell-off first, and then the dip buyers run in, and then you get that spike-up rally that, you know, that rip your face off. And then, of course, that's really the rally to sell. What do you think?
Yeah, totally. When you want to be selling the strength, and then you don't, you know, a lot of, you know, traders, you know, to be a little more conservative and to, they want to wait for what they call confirmation, to wait for, do they see a breakdown to begin shorting. In this case, I think, you know, with small ranges and that sort of thing, I think it's very difficult to figure out where, you know, a breakdown has begun. Usually they use moving averages and that sort of thing. For me, I just want to get, I have my own target lines that I think should be about where we peak. We did hit Euro Stoxx 50 did hit resistance last week, Friday. And I think that's probably it. Worst case scenario, Euro Stoxx gets up to 3180. There's a major slowly rising pivot line up there, and that will stop it from going any further.
That'd be like a bowling stopper. That'll stop it. We're with my guy, Matt Demeter from DemeterResearch.com. When we come back from the break, we're going to talk about gold and about his gold special, because we've seen a constant pounding in gold now because of the strength in the U.S. dollar. And, whatever reason, I don't care what the reasons are, but our man Matt picked it, and he does have a gold special that he's been offering. So when we come back from the break, we're going to get more of Matt's feel on gold and the special deal he's offering. This is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horwitz. And, again, we want to remind you that whenever you miss an episode, all you have to do is go to libertytalk.fm and get the Bubba Show, or you get the Sporting Edge there as well. But every day they are posted with a little bit of an article, and you have the opportunity to download the show. We just passed 225,000 downloads a month, and we're looking to get to 300,000, so I need your help. So please go download the show. This is the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwitz. We'll be back with Matt Demeter from Demeter Research after the break. The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwitz. We'll be right back. Todd Bubba Horwitz with Matt Demeter from DemeterResearch.com. And again, Matt is one of our technical experts that is purely a technician and has no real opinions. I can't even get him to commit to anything except what his charts tell him. But Matt, I know that, you know, you've been watching gold, and I know gold has been getting hammered of recent. I mean, we're down, I don't know, almost $100 from the recent highs. But I know you also have a special. So tell us about your gold special, and then tell us what you're thinking of gold.
Well, the gold special is, I don't think that gold has bottomed yet. A lot of people think that the December low was it, but I don't think it is. We're going to fall below that low, but at that point, that should be the final bottom. So we have a very specific target for that, and we're willing to share that for free to anybody that wants to sign up. And then when we get to our target, you know, we'll send out the that information. We'll say, you know, gold should have bottomed right here. Here's the price. And if we're right within 3% of the actual bottom and gold then rallies at least 20%, we'll consider the call correct. At that point, we'll charge $49, which should be sort of chump change compared to, you know, the gains one would make from the call.
That's a great, I mean, that is a great deal. I mean, you know, I even signed up for it. He made me sign up too. No, I think it's a great deal and it's a great call. And again, you're getting the views from a pure technical standpoint. It has nothing to do. I mean, you know, you all hear people talk about, well, the dollar is doing this. Well, yeah, it is related to the dollar. And, you know, you got all the reasons. The bottom line is the charts and the footprints tell you this, the real story over time. And that's really what you have to learn to watch. So, Matt, you think that this gold sell-off, is there, you expect to see some sort of a little pop here soon just to see some mix just because, or do you expect it to continue just to plummet?
No, we expect a bounce. So in the very short term, we have come off about, you know, $80 or so. I think we're going to bounce right back up. The indicators are not, the short-term indicators are pretty oversold, and I think we need a bounce. I think we could even bounce to slightly higher highs. We got up to just above 1,300, and I think we could go back up there. This may take a while to play out. I still think it'll happen this year, but I think in the very short term we're going to need the bounce, and then we're going to start all over again on the downside. One of the reasons why I believe this isn't over long term to the downside is that the banks, we're always looking at the banks, what are they doing? And they have not given up on their short positions in gold. And they really tend to move this market as they like. Anybody that follows the market, this, you know, the gold and silver markets very closely knows that the banks are heavily involved in them. And given how high their short positions have become, they were at record highs, you know, 24-year highs, just, you know, a few weeks back. And they have taken some of those short positions off, but they're still heavily short. Not at records anymore, but still.
But heavily short, and that should be some indication. Now, we've seen, you know, you called for a top in the euro currency a ways back, and you said the dollar looked like it was going back to, I think you believe it called 103, I think. I'm saying the buck, but I think you called for 103. And we're certainly in that directional move right now. Is the euro currency getting a little bit overdone to the downside here?
Yeah, well, you know, it's starting to get a little bit oversold, and I think we could definitely get a bounce out of it. I don't think it's going to go a whole lot lower in the short term than, say, 109, and we're at 111. So probably that would be a good place 109 would be a good place to put some orders in to buy there.
And you see that you still see the dollar going back over the buck?
I do. It will probably take a little while. I'm still seeing, yeah, 102. I'd say 102 is probably 103 is possible. I think 102 would be my ideal target. And, you know, since, you know, it's a little bit extended to the upside right now as far as indicators. And, it could pull back. I'm thinking this is going to take, you know, the bulk of the rest of the year for this to take place. I don't think it's going to happen right away.
Well, now, do you price in, I mean, because you're reading the footprint, and, you know, of course, you know, a lot of people use the Fed funds rate, which is a footprint on what the Fed is going to do. And, of course, you know, it's still really unknown is what the Fed, because even though the Fed funds rate say one thing, the stock market is another. Does the possible interest rate rise show up in your work at all? And do you think that we are going to see a rise, or you can't tell from your work yet?
I think, you know, I think we are going to see some rate hikes, one or two this year. I would guess, everybody says unless the data is, you know, terrible, I think we'll probably get one in June or July, and then maybe we'll get one in December. To get the dollar up to, you know, we're not yet near, you know, the buck mark, and 102 we're still, you know, a distance away from. To get there, you know, we have to figure out how we're going to get there fundamentally. What's the back what's the backdrop? And then my guess is that, you know, to get there, we're going to need, you know, two rate hikes.
Well, yeah, I mean, again, you know, if we get the rate hike, I mean, of course, that pushes, that makes the dollar much stronger, which is one of the biggest concerns of a lot of people, is that, you know, a tightening would increase the strength of the dollar, because, of course, there's a lot of reasons for it, and we don't have to get into them now, but it makes the dollar so much stronger, it makes the U.S. yield so much better than anywhere else, that it just creates that natural rise, and of course, you'll hear a lot of people whining about that, which is, the whole thing is a mess, and it really doesn't matter to the work you and I do, because it is what it is, and we just trade from there. So what are you seeing? What's your number one thing that you're looking at this week?
Number one thing, what I want to see is, I want to see, as we've been talking for a long time, I don't know if it'll happen this week, but I do want to see a sell-off in stocks. If we could pop a little bit higher first, that would be ideal from my perspective. The two big, you know, trades on my mind really for the rest of the year are going to be the bond market and gold and silver. I think that, you know, this is the year where, you know, treasuries peak, all bonds peak. We've been short municipal bond. We got short the MUB ETF, which tracks municipal bonds. We're short municipal bonds, we're short treasuries, and we're short high yield. We're basically short bonds across the board, and it's still a small position. It's only about, of those three positions, that's about 20% of our portfolio, so maybe not that small, but we actually want to increase that, you know, quite a bit.
You're looking for the 36-year bull market in bonds to be over. I know you call
that. That's it. That's it. Yeah, and I think this is the year. I think it's going to be a you know, big deal. You know, I could muse about why I think that's going to take place fundamentally, but again, as you know, I'm more just about the charts.
Right. No, I mean, and of course, listen. You know, one thing about markets is, you know, you can create any story you want, and you can get the surrounding evidence to support that case, because you can make a case for either side, which is why markets go through different phases when they're trading. But when you're just a pure technician, there is no, you know, well, this is my opinion. It's basically based on the math is what it really comes down to, and how it stretches out. And I think that's what you do a great job at, is just keeping it down to not an opinion, but an actual statement of fact. Now, again, just because you state the fact doesn't mean that you're always going to be right. I mean, nobody's always right. But the point is that your reads are not from inside. Your reads are looking at, you know, we'll call it a slide rule. You know, I know you're not. But, you know, basically a mathematical calculation that says this is what's supposed to happen. And I think that's more important, because that takes you out of the emotional part of the market, right?
Absolutely, yeah. You know, and that, it also makes it a lot easier to know when, you know, when to say you're wrong. You know, if you have a line and you say that's your target and you really shouldn't, you know, pass it, then you can be objective about saying, okay, you know, we met our target, we exceeded it, and now we're out. So that way you can, you know, if you do make we're all going to make mistakes. But
well, I mean, it's not even a mistake.
Way of looking at the market. Yeah.
It's not even a mistake. Look, if there was never a bad trade, or everybody knew exactly what was going on, there'd be no market. So this has been my guy, Matt Demeter, here on Memorial Day, helping us out, you know, taking away from the barbecue. And, of course, Matt and I both want to salute all the veterans out there on this Memorial Day holiday, because we appreciate you. And it's thanks to you that we're able to talk here on Memorial Day and put together our views on the market. Matt, thanks as always for coming on.
Thanks a lot, Todd.
This is the Bubba Show. Todd Bob Morris here with Matt Demeter from DemeterResearch.com. Make sure you check out his gold special. Again, he's looking to call the bottom of gold, and he's got basically a no-lose situation. So I would check that out. And also, when you miss an episode of the Bubba Show, go to libertytalk.fm, and you can download the show every single day. We love putting it up there for you, and we love the response that we're getting. But for today, this Memorial Day holiday, again, we thank all of our veterans and their families who served in this country. We appreciate you. Thanks for giving us our liberty. This is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll see you back here tomorrow, same time, same station. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. So world, I just spin around.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.